Father, we just thank you for this mikvah service tonight, Father. Father, we thank you that you have your complete will and way in our life in the name of Yeshua. Father, I thank you that you cleanse us from all unrighteousness by the blood of Yeshua. Father, we resist the enemy and he flees from us. And the way we resist him is to repent and walk according to your word, Father, according to your Torah, your teachings and instructions. I thank you, Father, that as we go through these mikvah process, Father, that we are standing against, Father, those curses in our bloodline that would try to attack our lives and our children's and our children's children. And we take authority over them in the name of Yeshua. Father, I thank you for your cleansing tonight, Father, in Yeshua's name, Father. I thank you, Father, we've been redeemed from the curse by the blood of Yeshua. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Okay, two things pursue, the blessings or the curse. I'm going to read these scriptures mainly for the benefit because I'm recording this because I'm putting a mikvah service series together for people. But I think these mikvahs are a blessing to people. You turned off my light. Exodus 35:5 says, "It's because you have had an ancient hatred and have shed the blood of children of Israel by the power of the sword at the time of their calamity, when their iniquity came to an end. Therefore, as I live, says the Lord God, I will pursue you for blood, and blood shall pursue you, since you have not hated blood. Therefore, blood shall pursue you." Again, there's another scripture that says, if you live by the sword, that you die by the sword. Psalm 109:17 says, "As he loved cursing, so let it come to him. As he did not delight in blessing, so let it be far from him." Matthew 7:1 says, "Judge not that you be not judged." You know, we don't realize that when we judge others wrongly, and, you know, that judgment comes back on us. The same thing we judge people for, we're going to find ourselves in the same situation. Luke 6:37 says, "Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." So again, if we judge not, we're not going to be judged. And what I'm talking about is, you know, having a critical spirit with people and always, you know, looking at people's faults. You know, there's a time for righteous judgment within a community, but this is really dealing with gossip and slander and Lashon Hara. It says, "Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." You know, Yeshua says, if you don't forgive, God's not going to forgive you. None of us have a right to not forgive people. Not saying that it's not easy sometimes, you know, but God gives us the grace to be able to do it. If Yeshua can forgive the people that hung him on the cross, you know, and forgive us of all our sins, who are we not to forgive some other people? But a lot of times that root of bitterness sets in. And, you know, I was thinking about this today. If you're still going back 10 years, and if you still have bitter feelings about somebody from 10, 20, 30 years ago, you need to get set free because you got a root of bitterness. Because you're letting that situation control your life. And you can tell by the words that are coming out of your mouth. Matthew 7:1 says, "Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For the same measure that you use will be measured back to you." If you give love, you're going to receive love. If you give to people of yourself, you're going to receive in your time of need. It's the law of sowing and reaping. It's a spiritual law. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap back, good or bad. We want to sow good seeds because we want to reap good back. It says, "Give and it will be given to you." Again, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure you use it, it will be measured back to you. Ezekiel 18:19, "Yet you say, why should the Son not bear the guilt of the Father? Because the Son has done what is lawful and right and has kept my statutes and observed them, he shall surely live." So we can reverse the curse in our lives. Just because our family or maybe people who went before us rejected God doesn't mean we have to suffer those curses. That we could reverse that by doing what's right and living according to the Torah. Ezekiel 18:20, the soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. Isaiah 66:1, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build for me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this will I look on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. That we would have a deep respect and awe of God's word and we would tremble. You know, there's a good kind of fear, a good kind of respect of God's word. God has the answer for every problem in our life. Everything that's going to get done to you. That's why I'm teaching this series on prayer, because everything that happens to us is going to happen on our knees before the throne of God. It's not going to happen any other way. Prayer is the key for everything in our life. There is no getting around it. God brings freedom from generational curses. Hallelujah. We inherit the natural as well in the supernatural. Once we are born again, we come into our Heavenly Father's inheritance. Curses on families and children can be broken in the name of Yeshua. You know, it's important, and we're going to go to some of these scriptures later, to know who you are in Messiah. To know that he has made you righteous, but there's still things in our bloodline that we have to stand against and we have to take authority over. Yeshua gave us the authority to do it. We just don't sit there like a bunch of mopes and wait for, okay, God, when are you going to do something? And Yeshua said, I've given you the authority in my name. You need to do it. We can take authority over those generational curses. How did the curse begin? Well, all you have to do is go back to Genesis 3. Beginning with verse 14. And the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon your belly shall you go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. It shall bruise your head, and it shall bruise his heel. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In sorrow you shall bring forth children, and your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over you. And to Adam said, because you have hearkened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In sorrow shall you eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face shall you eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it were you taken, and for dust you are, and dust you shall return. Before that, Adam, they didn't have to sweat working. Everything was there for them. They probably just had to speak and it was there. But the minute they decided to give HaSatan the authority over this earth, the curse came in, and what now we have to toil. He had to toil and labor and work hard for everything that he had. So how did the curse begin? We were not created to be under the curse. The curse is not natural for us. God didn't create us to be under a curse. But because of sin, that curse came into our life. God created us in his image. God is not under a curse. Sin brings a curse. Adam and Eve started the curse. They disobeyed God. Just the same thing in our bloodline. Someone in the family tree starts the curse through disobedience. It's like we don't know how far back that started, but we can kind of get an idea. You can kind of look at your, you know, at least at your father, mother, and grandparents. You know, maybe if you're lucky, you'll have known your great-grandparents. But you can kind of see, you know, there's a cycle that you can see. It may be a cycle of alcoholism. It may be a cycle of adultery. It may be a cycle of, you know, anger or whatever. But you can see it just keeps on passing down through the bloodline. The iniquities of the fathers are visited to the children into the third and fourth generation. Go to Exodus 20. Beginning with verse 5. You shall not bow down to them. Let's go back up to verse 4. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. So hallelujah, we can rejoice because we're on the mercy side. Why? Because we love his commandments. We love his Torah. So that curse has been broken because the curse only goes to the third or fourth generation, but it's turned around when somebody returns through Yeshua, returns to his Torah and his teachings and instructions. So we've stopped the curse from those third and fourth generations from before us. But that doesn't mean there's things that we have to still stand against. Again, we find ourselves doing the same things we didn't like our parents doing. Abuse, incest, and alcoholism start with the weakness in one generation. You can see that, you know, a lot of times if a person comes from an abusive home, they're usually an abusive person and they abuse their children. And it keeps on going on and on and on unless it's broken in the name of Yeshua. Alcoholism. You know, if you have alcoholism in your family, you can see that, you know, you may have a tendency towards it. You know, or drug addiction, any kind of addiction. Anything that's destructive, you can just see it. I mean, you can go back and in your family and you can see. You know, it could be divorce. You know, a cycle of divorce in the family. Obedience to God's word brings the blessing. Let's go to Deuteronomy 28. You know, we love quoting Deuteronomy 28, you know, verses 1 to 10, but, you know, somehow that first verse, you know, we kind of like to slide by because to walk in his blessings, you have to walk in obedience. It says, now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. For it's God's will for us to be blessed. That's right there in black and white. But it says in order to be blessed, we have to be diligent to obey his voice. We need to be diligent that when his word says to do something, we need to do it. Why? Because disobedience brings a curse. Obedience brings the blessing. It says, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Why? Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. So again, it's obedience that brings the blessing. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed you shall be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way, but flee before you seven ways. And we see that in Israel. When they obeyed God, when the enemy would try to come against them, God would supernaturally come against them, and they'd be fleeing in all different directions. So it's in 7 different directions they're going to run. And we can stand on that too. Verse 8, the Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Again, conditional. God said that he's going to establish as a holy, set apart people. But again, it's based on obedience. Then all peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, and an increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain in your land in the season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head, not the tail. And you shall be above only and not beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. Again, isn't that like about the 3rd or 4th time he said, if you obey, if you observe? So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods and to serve them. Again, the power of blessing is greater than the power of the curse. The power of obedience is more powerful than disobedience. When we obey, God says he will bless us. Iniquity. I want to read you a list of codes of unrighteous acts. And again, this is based in Torah. So these 49, actually it's a list of 49, but these things, 49, are sins of humanity against mankind and God, reported in the Holy Scripture. It is expected that every righteous person will work to avoid these things in their life and repent, then refrain from any from falling into them. Number 1, immorality. So what comes under the heading of immorality? Again, I just want to read this before I go into that. Again, iniquity is power. Iniquity is willful sin. It's like you know that not to do something, but you say, I don't care, I'm going to do it anyway. Okay? Iniquity has power. Sin-rooted problems start deep iniquity. Physical, mental, and emotional tendencies begin with sin. Sin means to miss the mark. What's the mark? God's teachings and instructions. His standard of holiness. And we've all missed the mark, because the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I mean, the Torah points it out. If you try to, earn your salvation by doing the Torah, it's impossible. You know, it's only through Yeshua that we have the ability to walk according to God's teachings and instructions. We can get used to sin. Eventually, you become hardened to sin. The more you give in to sin, the more you get used to it. And then your heart becomes hardened. And before, where you used to get like a little nudge of guilt when you do something, it's all of a sudden you don't have any guilt anymore because you don't care because your heart becomes hardened. We then become comfortable in sin, rationalizing it that it keeps us denying that it is sin. Sin develops into iniquity when the heart is distorted. Then there is a generational tendency towards sin. What we do now is going to affect our children and our children's children, for good or for bad. So it's so important that we want to pass the blessings on to our kid. We don't want them to inherit the curses that we've had to stand against and we've had to get free from. You know, that's the whole purpose of going through the mikvah process. And again, it's not to bring condemnation. You know, God isn't here to condemn us. He's here because he wants us to get free so we can walk in the blessings. And so these blessings will go to our children and our children's children. I mean, we can see, again, I'm sure you can too, that since you've turned around and you've made a decision to walk according to God's Torah, I know you've seen changes in your life, because I have. I know you've seen changes in your family, because I have. Okay? But again, we have to every day stand against this. Because Yeshua has already made a provision for us. So what are some of the things that we need to stand against? You know, and these are things that you think, well, you know, as I'm reading this list, well, you know, those things don't affect Christians. Oh, they don't? You see it all the time. You see pastors, a few churches being taken down because of adultery, homosexuality, you know, stealing from the church. Why? Because the Torah doesn't apply to them anymore. Okay, so when you do away with God's moral standards, you think, okay, well, I'm under grace, so I can do what I want. But you know what? The Bible says your sin will find you out. What you do in the darkness will be brought to the light. So again, what are these codes of unrighteous acts? Number one is immorality. Under that heading, we find adultery, fornication, which is sex without marriage, incest, pedophilia, homosexuality, bestiality, pornography, prostitution, and immodesty. Now again, those things have always been on the earth, but you know what? 50, 60 years ago in this country, this stuff would not have been acceptable. They wouldn't even have thought of passing laws to protect people so they can do these kind of things. But we're living in a land where they're passing laws so people can do these kind of things. What kind of curse do you think is going to come upon this land? Number two, cruelty. Murder, under that heading, murder, abortion, suicide, rape, torture, terrorism, abusiveness, animal abuse, slander, false accusation. Number three, robbery, theft of property, fraud, deception, vow or covenant breaking, not tithing, seduction, selfish manipulation, gambling, hoarding, stinginess, which is called the evil eye. Again, a lot of these things we see being acceptable behavior in this country, where 60 years ago this would not have been acceptable behavior. You know, 60, 70 years ago, people would have been like, whoa, you know, you don't do those things. But now it's like, oh, it's okay. It's okay to steal just so you don't get caught. Right. You know, it's okay to take away people's property. You know, it's okay to, you know, to do these things. But God says these are unrighteous acts, and they'll bring a curse. Intemperance, addiction, drunkenness, carousing, brawling, lying, boasting, filthy talk, profanity, gasping, gluttony, slothfulness. Number five, rebellion, sedition, treason, disobedient to parents, disrespectful of elders, revenge, spite, backbiting, sowing discord among brethren, unauthorized sitting in judgment, prejudicial acts, and haughty eyes or arrogance. Again, we see some of these things, especially in our young people today, that spirit of rebellion, which, you know, 60 years ago, you wouldn't dare do the things. I mean, I know with like my mother or grandfather, if they dare talk back, they got the switch. I mean, they would go hide under the bed, you know. Not because he wanted to beat them. It's like, you know what, you are not disrespectful to your elders. When an elderly person walked into a room, you were to give them their seat. You were to show them respect. What happens when you go on a bus today? You have pregnant women standing up, old people. Nobody will give them a seat on the bus. They'll just look at you. I mean, I've been there. You know, you're standing on the bus and you just, the men just looking at you like, you know, pregnant women and not giving them a seat. Total disrespect. Again, disobedient to parents. We. Right, to show them respect. Right. Men or women. It talks, and I think it's 1st or 2nd Timothy, in the last day that children be disobedient. We can go to that. I think it's 1st or 2nd Timothy. Jim can edit out some of this stuff, but it talks about in the last days. I think it's 2nd Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 3. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, from such people turn away. And again, I think there's there's some other scriptures. Let me look up 16:57. Let's see. Hallelujah. Now I'm just looking up some scriptures in here. Deuteronomy 21:20, these are just some scriptures. And they shall say to the elders of the city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Again, back in when God gave the Torah to his people Israel, if a child was, you know, and actually they were to the age of accountability, was disrespectful and rebellious, they were stoned. I mean, but you had to be, you know, I mean, they were brought before a council, but I mean, rebellion was not tolerated. Why? Because it infects the whole community. Once one kid gets away with rebellion, then the next one, then the next one, then you have nothing but problems. What are gangs? Kids filled with rebellion. Deuteronomy 27:16, cursed is the one who treats his father or his mother with contempt. Again, a curse is upon us if we treat our parents with contempt. Proverbs 30:11, there is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. Micah 7:6, for son dishonors father, daughter rises against her mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, Matthew, I believe. A man's enemies are the men of his own household. So again, we see again, these are unrighteous acts. So any unrighteous act is opposite of God's righteous acts, which are his Torah. Paganism, vainly using the holy name. Again, using God's name in vain. Idolatry, worship of other gods. Using unfit symbols, marking the flesh. It could be tattoos, or kids too, there is a thing where they cut themselves, which is a pagan practice. Sorcery, witchcraft, spirit medium channeling, astrology and religious deception. Again, we see some of this stuff coming into the church. Do you think those churches are going to be blessed? No, they're going to be under a curse. Because the word says if you do such these things, you're bringing a curse on yourself. Unholiness, Sabbath breaking, disregard for kosher instructions, grumbling and complaining against God, weariness with righteousness, shameless expression without conscience, undignified acts, joyless expression, bitterness, ritual uncleanness, and temple rules breaking. Again, this is a picture of really how the world is. And we are to be exactly the opposite of this. But Yeshua, the good news is, hallelujah, Yeshua has made a provision for us. Let's go to Isaiah 53. And for our children, and for our children's children. But we need to pray and we need to stand. Again, that's why I'm teaching on prayer. That's why we do these mikvah services. so God would heal us. That's why I played these songs, because God wants to do a healing in our lives. There's a lot of hurting people sitting inside the churches that are emotionally bruised and hurting, but they're afraid to let anybody, you know, minister to them. It's like they got to put on, you know, a mask because people won't think they're spiritual. Well, you know, if you can't get set free and healed when you're with brothers and sisters, then, you know, we're in a sad state. Isaiah 53. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness when we see him. There is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. So he's healed us. He's paid the price. Amen. Yeah, depending what translation you're looking at. Okay. So he carried away, he took our sin upon himself. He was wounded for our transgressions. Others can cause us physical hurts. Words can wound us. It's so important to watch what we say. You know, to say what the word says, to be in agreement with the word. You know, so we need to learn the discipline of keeping our mouth shut sometimes when we want to lash out at somebody. You know, we want to give them a piece of their mind. We want to tell them off, you know. It's like there's this one girl at work. I mean, she's really nice, but she has absolutely no tolerance for anybody. I mean, she swears, she'll burp, she'll belch, she makes all these noises. But if anybody's coughing or something, she's like, oh, you know. Or if anybody talks too loud, she's like, oh, you know. It's like, she has no tolerance for anybody else, but she'll say, and I feel like, you know, I just have to like, Father, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I'm not going to say anything, but sometimes I feel like saying, you know what? We have to listen to you, so who are you to judge everybody else? You know, but I don't, because I figure, you know what? I'm going to keep my mouth shut, and I just pray. But total intolerance for anybody else around her. But it's okay that the things she does are very offensive to everybody. But again, we have to watch our words, because words can wound, and we know that. Somebody can say something to you, and it could just absolutely devastate you. You know, or maybe they could slap you in the face, and it'd be like, well, okay, you know, I can deal with that. But those words, you know, they get into your soul, and they hurt you. They can make you feel inadequate, you know, not good enough, and just destroy you. We have all trespassed against someone else. Cheating, abuse, lying, and stealing. Wounds can be passed down to our children through a bitter spirit. If we're bitter, we can pass on that bitterness to our kids. And what happens? They're going to pick it up, and they're going to become bitter. Yeshua was bruised for our iniquity. Iniquities show up through generations. Yeshua took the bruising for us. And we have authority, too, to take the authority over those generational curses as well. We must continue in his word to be set free. We need to daily read his word. We need to meditate on his promises. We need to know who we are in Messiah. We need to pray the word. We need to spend every day in prayer. If we have a problem, we need to go to the word and find out what the word of God says. And no matter what the circumstances look like, we have to stand on the word. No matter what it looks like our kids are doing, they are free from those generational curses in the name of Yeshua. And we just keep on standing. Staying in the truth will keep you free. Forgiveness is important where we have been wounded. We need to put our faith in God's ability to deliver us and heal us through his word. We need to keep our mouth shut concerning offenses. Again, some of these things are hard to do. I mean, keeping our mouth shut is probably the hardest thing we need to learn, you know? So James says, if we can learn to control our tongue, we would be a perfect person. Again, the cause of the curse, the devil uses unforgiveness to keep a person in bondage. Everyone is affected. Rehearsing the wound brings generational curses. Words that come out of your mouth are either blessings or curses. Your heart is bound when you don't forgive. So in other words, you're keeping God from healing you because of unforgiveness. And again, you're going to pass that same attitude on to your kids, especially when your kids are in the womb. I think that is probably the most critical time when they are being formed in the womb, because especially as women, they are inside of us. And believe me, amen. But again, you know, we have to, remember I'm recording this. We need to watch, you know, what we say and how we say it, you know, because those words, again, they'll affect our children. You know, I can see sometimes, you know, I mean, have you ever looked at your kids and seen, oh, maybe kind of looked in a mirror sometimes? It's like looking in a mirror. They'll do something, it's like, oh my gosh, it sounds like me. That looks, you know, or their attitude or something. It's like, well, I don't like your attitude, and thinking, you know, where'd they get that attitude from? You know, it's like they mimic and pick up what they see, good or bad. And we want them to pick up the good. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Our children are in the place of grace if we stay out of sin. You know, the word says that our household is, you know, that a wife sanctifies her unsaved husband, or vice versa. A believer sanctifies their unbelieving mate. Well, that goes for our children, too. If we stay in the Word, our kids are sanctified till they come to the place where they, you know, repent and come to the Lord and fulfill what God has called them to do. If we stay in righteousness, if we stay in walking in His Word. Let's go to James chapter 2, and then I'm going to read a bunch of scriptures here about cleansing. Because that's what a mikveh is. It's about God washing us with the water of His Word. I know, you know, sometimes it's like I'll find myself, you know, no, we always say, I'm never going to be like my mother, or if you're a man, I'm never going to be like my father. But, you know, the older you get, you notice you start picking, you have the same mannerisms as your parents. You start sounding like them sometimes. Why? Because, well, their DNA is in you, you know. James 2:13. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, and you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you know, want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you not see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then a man is justified by works and not by faith only. So again, praying is putting our faith to work. You know, we're praying and standing on the Word. We're, you know, and doing what the Word says. You know, they go hand in hand. If you have faith, then the works are going to follow. They go, you can't have one without the other. Again, if we whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Whatever you reap, you're going to sow. So we want to sow good things. And the way we sow good things is by praying the word. What gets us free from generational curses is praying the word. The same what the word says. Getting up early in the morning. It's like now, again, for the first 2 weeks, it was kind of hard for me to do. But now it's like I look forward to it. You know, I see, you know, sometimes it's just, I'll just be praying, you know, the Siddur and the word scriptures. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit starts taking over in those prayers. And I'll start crying out to God, you know, or we'll be praying together. And it's, you know, as you're praying, the Holy Spirit will start taking over and showing you what to pray and who to pray for and how to pray. But, you know, that time is so precious. It's like, you know, I have more energy the whole day, you know, even getting up at 4:30 and 5 o'clock in the morning than if I would have stayed in bed. You know, and I believe we're going to see changes here, and I know I'm going to see changes in my life spiritually because I want to go forward with God. I want to hear his voice. We want to see people healed. We want people be saved. We want to make a difference in this city. We just don't want it to be a bless us for or no more. Amen. I'm going to read some of these scriptures and just listen to what they are. I'll read them off to you if you want to write them down. But I'm just going to read them as soon as I get to that page. Hallelujah. These are all about how God cleanses us. Spiritual cleansing. Again, that's what a mikveh is about. A mikveh is about spiritual cleansing. I'm just going to sit down here. Psalm 65:3. Iniquities prevailed against me. As for our transgressions, you will provide atonement for them. Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Ezekiel 36:25. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Zechariah 13:1. In that day a fountain shall be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Malachi 3:3. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Again, when they purge gold and silver, what happens? They heat it up to a real high heat so all the dross and the crud comes to the top, so it's pure gold and pure silver. And that's what God's doing to us. Every time we come through a mikveh, every time we hear that word is cleansing us, that word is washing us. Every time we repent, every time we cry out to God to set us free, he is setting us free and he is cleansing us and he is making us like pure gold and silver. Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. Again, this is talking about husbands and wives, but it's also a picture of Messiah and his bride. We are being sanctified and cleansed and set apart by the washing of the water of his word. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, or Ruach HaKodesh. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Yeshua, the Messiah, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So walking in the light means walking in his word. Again, light is another way of saying Torah. He is the Torah. He, you know, says that when we walk in the light, as he is the light. Why? Because he's the Torah. He's the Word. If we walk in the Word, then and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Revelation 1:5. And from Yeshua HaMashiach, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Again, a picture of the mikvah, washing and cleansing. Psalm 19:12. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Cyrenius says secret faults. He's not talking about the faults that everybody can see. He's talking about those secret faults that we hide within ourselves because we don't want anybody to know. But we want God to cleanse us from those secret faults. Psalm 51:2 and verse 7. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Psalm 79:9. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of your name, and to deliver us and to provide atonement for our sins for your name's sake. John 13:9. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Here, this context was Yeshua was washing the disciples' feet. You know, and at first there was like, no, you know, don't do that to us. But what Yeshua was showing them was humility and showing them how they were to act and also, you know, his cleansing. You know, and Peter says, don't only wash my feet, you know, pour the whole bucket of water on me, you know, from the head to my toe. Isaiah 6:7, and he touched my mouth with it. Now, again, if you go back to verse 6, let's go to Isaiah so we can read that in context, because that's really a beautiful picture of God purging us. Isaiah 6, beginning with verse 6. Let's begin with verse 1. Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and a train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With the two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and two he flew. And one cried to another, saying, Holy, 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 or Kadosh, 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 is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Here you see that being in God's presence, I mean, you just realize, I mean, can you imagine experiencing what Isaiah experienced, standing in the very throne room of God and feeling the holiness of God? I mean, there's not one of us who would stand, if, you know, God's holiness and not feel unworthy. And he's like, oh, woe is me, because I am a man of unclean lips. The one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongues from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. And also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, Here I am, send me. Hallelujah. So God, again, God's word is always referred to as fire. The Holy Spirit is referred to as fire. And his fire cleanses us and purges us. And, you know, we have to be like Isaiah when we're standing in the very presence of holiness, in holiness of God. It's, you know, Father, purge me. Take that, you know, that coal from your throne and purge, you know, put it on my lips. You know, circumcise my lips. Cleanse my lips. You notice by cleansing his tongue, his whole body was cleansed. And that he mentioned, and James pointed out too, that it was his mouth that made him unclean too. I thought that was interesting. Ezekiel 16:9. Then I washed you in water, yes, I thoroughly washed off your blood, and I anointed you with oil. Zechariah 3:4. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, see, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes. John 15:3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. 1 Corinthians 6:11, and such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Revelation 7:14, and I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Father, that you cleanse us, Father, totally from all iniquity. Father, I thank you, Father, that as David said in Psalm 51, that you would wash us thoroughly from our iniquity and cleanse us from our sin. For we acknowledge our transgressions, and our sin is always before us. Against you, you only have we sinned and done what is evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Ruach HaKodesh from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. When we are in sin, we lose our joy. You know, when we need to, remember when you were first born again, how joyful you are? I mean, you couldn't keep your mouth shut. I don't know about you, but me, I was telling everybody about Yeshua. I'd be cutting their hair and I'd be preaching to them at the same time. You know, my boss would just kind of roll his eyes, you know, but it's like, you got my seat. You heard about, you know, Jesus because of that joy. But sometimes we can lose our joy over the years. You know, we have to ask God to restore the joy of our salvation. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud for your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. I remember in some of the Pentecostal churches that I was in, and I tell you, I miss it because it was a good thing. They used to have, I mean, we would spend time in prayer and we would just cry, get on our face and cry before God on the altar and pray and, you know, and just pour out our hearts and, live, you know, have our, you know, our just spirit broken and repenting before the altar. I mean, the whole congregation, just, you know, wherever people were, just getting on their faces before God and crying out to God. You know what? We need that today. We need to get emotional and be in business in our prayers. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole offerings. Then you shall offer bull offerings on your altar. And what does God say again in Ezekiel 36:25? Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean, and I will cleanse you from all filthiness and from all your idols. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. When we are born again, he puts his statutes within our heart. That's why you may not even know much of the word, but when you do something contrary to the word, that spirit within you is saying, don't do that. You feel kind of like a check in your spirit. Well, that's because his word's in you. His statutes are in your heart. Right. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. I'm just looking for this one prayer. Right. Hallelujah. What we need to repent of is to get free from is a root of rebellion. We're all rebellion one way. There's not one person here that God didn't tell you to do something and you were like, no, I don't want it. I don't really want to do that, God. You know, maybe, you know, he may say, well, I got a scripture to get. No, I don't want to give that. Or I want you to, you know, serve at children's church. No, I don't want to do that. You know, it's rebellion against God. I didn't ask you whether you wanted to do it or not. I'm telling you to do it. But what happens at rebellion? You know, we see that in the body of Christ, it's filled with rebellion. And we need to repent of that rebellion because that is the nature of Satan. What did he do? He rebelled against God. You know, and that's, you know, we have to come against that because we don't want our kids to fall into that rebellion or their children's children. We need to be obedient that no matter what God tells us to do, we're going to do it. If he tells you, I want you to go in and scrub the toilets, you know, you scrub the toilets. If he says, I want you to, you know, get here early and pray, then you get here early and you pray. If he says, I want you to keep the Sabbath holy, then you better keep the Sabbath holy. You know, we're to work, we're not to, you know, fit the Sabbath into our schedule. We're to work, you know, everything is supposed to, the Sabbath is the center of everything we do. My son's birthday is the 4th of July, which is Saturday. We're having this party on Sunday. Because we didn't want to have to, you know, deal with this stuff on the Sabbath. Because this is God's day. You know, same thing with, you know, again, God tells us what to do. He tells you to, you know, to serve him. You say, well, I'm not going to serve you unless I do this or that. That's rebellion. You know, I'm sure some of these prophets didn't want to do some of the things that God told them to do. You know, who is it, Jeremiah, or one of them, you know, laying, you know, naked on one side and then on the other side to give a picture to Israel. Do you think they necessarily wanted to do some of these things that God asked them and told them to do? No, but they were obedient. You know, we need to dismantle those roots of rebellion in our life. If we want to be blessed, we need to be obedient. And again, I'm not necessarily saying this to you. I'm saying this to the people that are going to be listening to this CD. Because I really believe that these mikvah services, people really need the body Messiah, especially the Messianic people. The Messianic people, yes, we've taken a hold of Torah, but you know what? We're still rebellious. Because we don't want to sit under a Shabbat. We don't want to go to Shabbat and sit under somebody else's authority who God put in authority. God gave the prophet, you know, the evangelist, the pastor, the apostle, the prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Fivefold ministry. Isn't it interesting? Fivefold ministry. Five books of Torah. They go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. But people don't want to sit under the authority. They'd rather sit on the internet and have church that way. That's not how God does things. You know, we've become rebellious to God's word. You know, and we do that, rebellion brings a curse in our life. Again, there's a lot of things that I did that God called me to do, you know, that maybe I didn't necessarily want to do in 30 years of ministry. You know, when I was on staff, all the staff had to take turns being in the children's ministry. Whether you liked it or not, you did it. And let me tell you something. In the nursery, right? You know, and what do I hear from people today? You know, yeah. But what do we hear today? We ask people to serve in the children's ministry. I raised my kids. You know, I'm through with raising my kids. You know, we didn't do that. I learned how to be submissive to those in authority. Because I did, I got blessed. I learned a lot by doing that. I learned, you know, to be there when the pastor asked me to do something, I'd do it.
Well, you know what? you know. Don't know what's going on in what works. Because we just want to tell a story because it works. That's why we say it. You know? We give personal testimonies. It's not because we're trying to rock our own door.
The Bible says to obey is better than sacrifice. To not obey is rebellion. And we need to search our hearts and say, God, where have I been rebellious towards you? What have you told me to do that I said, uh-uh? You know, I fought against for a long time, you know, God calling me into the ministry. Because, again, what I thought he was going to send me to deepest, darkest Africa, you know. And it's like, right away, you're going to send me somewhere. But, you know, it didn't matter. You know, what Isaiah says, Hineni, here I am, Lord, send me. And finally I said, you know, Father, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Why? Because I love him. And the same thing, you know, God's asking us. That we need to repent, again, of rebellion and stubbornness and disobedience to his word. And ignorance of the word is no excuse. You say, well, I didn't know it said that in this word. Well, you know what? You open the Bible and you start reading it. You know, we have no excuse. I mean, we have, you know, Bibles everywhere. You know, we have, go on the internet. We have no excuse saying we're ignorant of God's word. Just like Tim had gave the story about his wife asked him, says, you know, how come we don't obey this fourth commandment? And he's like, huh? He goes, why don't we obey the fourth commandment? You know, and here he's Jewish, but they were brought up in a Christian home. They weren't brought up, you know, in a Jewish home. He goes, I don't know. You know, so, you know, in he, you know, then they started studying. And he goes, God, he goes, how come, you know, you know, I didn't know that. He says, what do you mean you didn't know that? You have the Bible. It's right there. His word is right there. It's like we have no excuse. But if we want to be blessed, we have to be obedient. You know, all of us. And again, you are obedient. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. So this isn't necessary for your benefit. This is for people that are listening, okay? So don't get offended or don't, you know, think I'm picking on you. I've learned from experience. Hallelujah. Father, we just pray this prayer to dismantle the roots of rebellion, not only in our own life, Father, but in our children's and in our children's children's life. Father, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, we repent of all generational idolatry. We repent for all personal and generational rebellion, stubbornness, and disobedience that have contributed to witchcraft in our life and in our generational line. We repent for all envy and jealousy of the mind, physical bodies, and personalities of others. We repent for any worship of ourself and any need of personal recognition. We repent of all envy and jealousy of the spiritual giftings and capacities of others. We repent for ourselves and for those in our generational line who did not guard the gates of the spiritual and physical senses. We repent for choosing our will above the will of Adonai. We choose not to owe no one anything but to love one another. We choose to cast off the work of darkness and put on the armor of light, our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, our Master, and to make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. We choose to walk only according to the grace and anointing God has given us. We choose to walk in unity with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. We choose to follow Messiah, living a life of love, preferring others above ourselves. We choose to yield and surrender our personal rights so that we might serve the Lord wholeheartedly. We choose to be devoted to one another in brotherly love and to honor one another above ourselves. We will never be lacking in zeal, but will keep our spiritual fervor serving our Master. We'll be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. We will share with God's people who are in need, and we will practice hospitality. We will bless those who persecute. We will rejoice with those who rejoice. We will mourn with those who mourn. We will live in harmony with other believers. We will not be proud, nor will we associate But we will associate with people of low position. We will not be conceited. We will not repay evil for evil. We will have regard for the good things in the sight of all men. We will live at peace with everyone, and we will take no revenge on others. Adonai, will you now remove all ungodly spiritual beings and devices that have been empowered by our idolatry, rebellion, and jealousy, and the idolatry, rebellion, and jealousy of our ancestors. Adonai, will you disconnect us from any evil network and break all ungodly ties between the abode of the enemy and ourself. Adonai, will you remove the generational tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adonai, will you break the cords of death that entangle us, the torrents of destruction that overwhelm us, the cords of Sheol that are coiled around us, and the snares of death that confront us. Adonai, we take back our godly anointing, energy, authority, finances, and health given away and perverted because of our sin and our ancestors' sin. Adonai, will you set us as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm, for your love is stronger than death. We declare that Yeshua HaMashiach is the head, and he is master over all. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Father, we just come against, Father, any sins in our family line. Father, we pray for all those who, although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, because their thinking was futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. We repent for all who become foolish and exchange the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal men, birds, and animals, and reptiles. We repent for the sinful desires of our ancestors' heart who gave their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. We repent for all those who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and served created things rather than a creator who is forever praised. We repent for the shameful lusts of our ancestors and for the women who exchanged their natural relationships for unnatural ones. We repent for the men in our family line who abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men who committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. We repent for those who did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, and therefore they were turned over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. We repent of all those who have been filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity, and for all those who were full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. We repent for all those who were gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. For all those who invented ways of doing evil, who were disobedient to their parents, who were senseless, faithless, heartless, and ruthless. We repent for those who, although they knew God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, that they not only continue to do them, but to do these very things, but also approved of those who practice them. Father, we ask you to bring repentance upon this country, Father. Father, who has forsaken their call, Father, because you've called this land to be an example of righteousness and holiness. This land was founded as a Judeo-Christian land, Father. And Father, we ask that you bring, Father, first those that call themselves by your name to complete repentance, Father. Father, we ask you to have mercy on this land for the sake of the righteous, Father. Father, we ask you, Father, to help us to be bold and stand up for righteousness, Father, in the midst of darkness. Father, we ask you, Father, to give us boldness, Father, to preach your gospel, that holy boldness that those that went before us had, Father. Father, we ask you to take away all fear from our heart in the name of Yeshua, for you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of peace, power, and a sound mind. Father, we thank you that, Father, when the godly rule, Father, the people rejoice. But, Father, we pray, Father, for those in authority in this country, Father, that they would repent, Father, that they would repent for what they are doing against Israel. Father, they would repent what they are doing against your word, Father, in the name of Yeshua. Father, we thank you that we will take a stand, Father, and stand on your word no matter what. Father, we thank you that in the name of Yeshua, that you will make a way for us where there is no way, Father. Hallelujah. We praise you and you thank you, Father, in the name of Yeshua. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Father, we thank you for our children. Father, we thank you that our prayers availeth much, Father. Father, that our prayers availeth much, that you hear our prayers, Father. Father, that you are right here in our midst. Yeshua, you said where two or more are gathered in your name. We are here, Yeshua, in your name. You said that you are right here in our midst. Father, you said your angels hearken to the voice of your word. Father, as we pray your word and we stand on your word, your voices, your angels are hearkening to that word, Father. Father, I thank you that we are healed. I thank you that we are set free. I thank you that we are delivered in the name of Yeshua. I thank you no weapon formed against us can prosper, and every tongue that rises against us in judgment, you shall show to be in the wrong, Father. Father, I thank you, Father, for that you are providing a place for us to worship you and to serve you and to make an impact on this city in the name of Yeshua. Father, I thank you that if you shut one door, that you will open another one. And I thank you that you are giving us favor and the finances we need. Father, we bring this conference before you in the name of Yeshua. I thank you for a great anointing on this conference, Father. Father, that you will have the people there who you want to be there. Father, I ask you that you fill that hotel with your glory, Father. I thank you to fill the mouths of those teachers, Father, with your glory and your word. Stir up the gift within them, Father. Father, help them, Father, to boldly speak forth your word. I thank you, Father, that place is going to be shaken, Father, with the power of God. I thank you, Father, for the people that are coming from the north, the south, and the east of the west, Father. Father, they are coming and sacrificing so they could be there. Father, I pray for those, Lord, that want to be there, that can't afford to, that you would provide finances for them in the name of Yeshua. Father, I thank you for the great spirit of unity and love. Father, that we'd break down the walls, Father, that would try to separate us, and that we would truly be one body in Messiah Yeshua. Father, walking in love with one another, Father, and in humility. Father, I thank you that every financial need is met. In the name of Yeshua for this conference, Father, I thank you, Father, that we will have the $15,000 we need. I thank you, Father, that you already provided almost $12,000. And I thank you, Father, that you will provide the additional $3,000 for your glory and praise, Father, for you have done it. I thank you, Father, for every person who has sacrificially given to this conference, Father, that you would just bless them a hundredfold in the name of Yeshua, Father. For our hearts, Father, are to do your will. Our hearts, Father, are to bring this message to the Chicago area. Father, we don't want Islam to take over Chicago. We want the Torah of Yeshua to take over Chicago. Father, we ask you to bring revival and restoration. Give these pastors ears and hearts to hear your word. Take the spiritual wax out of their ears, Father. Open their hearts to your truth, your teachings and instructions, Father, and who they really are in you, Father, as a part of Israel. We praise you and we thank you, Father. Hallelujah. We praise you, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Restore to us the joy of our salvation, Father. Oh, Father, melt our hardened hearts, Father, in the name of Yeshua. Give us hearts, Father, to receive your word, Father, in the name of Yeshua. Give us obedient hearts, Father. Hallelujah, that if we would be willing and obedient, you said we would eat the fat of the land, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, you take the fear of man from us, Father, that we boldly, Father, do what you have called us to do, Father, in the name of Yeshua. I ask you for holy boldness upon Scott and myself, Father. Holy boldness to stand, Father, in this office that you have called us to, Father. You have put us here, Father, and we humbly stand before you, Father, in humility, Father, and we just want to be used by you, Father. Father, we want to be used by you, Father. Father. We don't care if we make a fool of ourselves or not. We don't care if people like us or not, Father. We just want to say what you have called us to say. Put your words in our mouth, Father. Put your words in our mouth, Father, that they may change people's lives that come in this place. Father, I thank you, Father, that we pray for the rebellion and the pride, Father, that is in the Messianic movement, Father. Father, that they would... help us, Father, to walk humbly before you. Oh, I thank you, Father, for Ruth and Patrick, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father, for Lauren and Patricia. I thank you for their faithfulness, Father. Father, you see their faithfulness. You see their hearts. And I thank you, Father, we just speak blessings over them in the name of Yeshua. Father, I thank you for their diligence, Father. I thank you for their support in the Lord and their giving, Father. And I thank you, Father, that you are answering their prayers, Father. That you are healing their families, Father. You are healing their children. Father, you are making their families whole, Father. You are restoring the hearts of their children back to them, back to your word, Father, in the name of Yeshua. We praise you, Father. We praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Yes. Father, do not let the evil one rob us, Father, of what rightly belongs to us, Father. Father, because we, Father, you said the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just, Father. And that is so we can proclaim your word, Father. That's so we, Father, can get the word out to people, not because we want to heap riches to ourselves, Father, but, Father, because we want to see people set free, Father. We want to help the widowed and the orphan, Father. Father, we want to feed the poor, Father, but this all takes money, Father. And I thank you, Father, that the enemy cannot withhold the money from this congregation any longer in the name of Yeshua. Father, you have seen our faithfulness, Father. Father, you have seen us that we have stood and we have stood, Father, even when it seemed like, Father, it was easier to give up, Father. But Father, we just thank you, Father, that you have promised to pour out your blessings on this congregation. Father, we just bring you into remembrance of your word, Father. Father, we thank you that you are watching over your word to perform it, Father, because our desire is to only serve you. Father, we may not be the fanciest. We may not be the best speakers, Father. But Father, we have hearts that want to serve you. Father, look down upon this congregation, Father, with your mercy and your love. Pour out your blessings, Father, in the name of Yeshua. Pour out your anointing upon us, Father, in the name of Yeshua. Loose those finances, Father, for us in the name of Yeshua. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. We bless your holy name, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you, we worship you. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Yes, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Father. Yes, Father. Praise you, Father.
praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Father, I thank you for your protection over everyone in this congregation. Father, thank you for protecting Anna Marie, Father. She told me she had a car accident, but she's okay. Father, I thank you for protecting Pat, Father. I thank you for protecting every one of us, Father. Father, help us to be more obedient to your word, Father. Help us, Father, to be more sanctified and set apart, Father. Help us to honor your Shabbat even more, Father God. Father, enlarge our hearts, Father. Enlarge our hearts, Father, to receive more of you. Father, we ask you to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, Father. Heal our emotions, Father. Father, heal those hurts and those pains, Father. Help us to cry out before you, Father. For these tears are precious before your throne, Father. Thank you, Father. We take authority of every generational curse, Father, on our mother's side and our father's side, Father. We just take authority from every curse that goes back to 3 and 4 generations, and that curse has to stop in the name of Yeshua. And we proclaim, Father, that our family and our generations after us walk in the blessings, Father, in the name of Yeshua. Father, you said to 1,000 generations, Father. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. We worship you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Father, let people realize this 4th of July, Father, that this freedom, Father, is from you. The reason why this country is the way this country has been so blessed is because in God we trust has been our motto. It's because the Bible has been our way of life, Father. But if we stray from that, Father, we will not stay in this freedom. Father, help people wake up to the freedom that they have, Father, and fight against any tyranny, Father, that would try to take it away from us in the name of Yeshua. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father, hallelujah. Help us to pray with fire, Father. Refill us with your Ruach HaKodesh, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Help us to put you first place, Father, in the day, Father. To spend time with you, Father, and in prayer. Hallelujah. Help us to put down the flesh, Father, and to walk after your Spirit. Father, because we know that the victory is when we're on our knees and we're standing before you, Lord. That's where the victory is won, Father. That's where the anointing is taken hold of, Father. Hallelujah. We praise you for the privilege of prayer. We thank you for the authority you've given us, Father. We thank you, Father, that your word says that we will lay hands on the sick and they will recover, Father. Father, you have given us authority over all demons and powers of darkness by the name of Yeshua, Father. And I thank you for holy boldness, Father. I thank you, Father, that you have cleansed us from all unrighteousness by the blood of Yeshua, Father. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father. Yes, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Father, we're just expecting another miracle from you, Father. And if it's your will to stay here, then you'll work it out, Father. If you have something better for us, then you'll work it out too, Father. We just want to do your will no matter where it is, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you that that word does not depart from out of our mouth, Father. But we keep that speaking your word and standing on your word, Father.
We thank you for this experience.
Yes, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, that you have provided everything that we need, just like you said you would, Father. Father, we ask you to bless Jim, Father, and we thank you for the day that he can be with us, here with us all the time, Father. We thank you for his faithfulness to travel, Father, 600 miles just to be with us on Shabbat, Father. Father, there's those of us that, you know, we complain if we have to drive 30 minutes, Father, but he drives 600 miles, Father, because he wants to be with us. He wants to be with his family. Help us, Father, not to take for granted what you have given us and what you have done for us, Father. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. We worship you, Father. We thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Holy, holy, holy are you, O Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Come. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Thank you that those gifts of exhortation, Father, and teaching work within her. I thank you that faithfulness to serve the children, Father. Father, you know at times I'm sure it overwhelms her, Father, but thank you that you bless her because she put poured seeds in those children's hearts that they will never forget. Father, I thank you for protecting her. I thank you, God, for her hands, Father, that you will just use them, Father, for healing the people, Father. And I thank you that her feet continue to walk in the path that you have called her to walk. Thank you for your anointing, Father. Thank you for your shalom. Thank you for total healing for her body, Father, in the name of Yeshua. Thank you, Father, that this weight of sin with myself to come off, Father, supernatural, in the name of Yeshua. Father, that you were doing all we know to do, Father, and you're going to do the rest. Thank you with long life to say this life to show us your salvation. Give us, make our bones strong, Father, and our bodies strong, that we may serve you, Father, longer than we deserve. In the name of Yeshua. Hallelujah.
Prayer.
All over my hands. Praise you, Father. Well, looking forward to Shabbat. Hallelujah. To continue to teach on prayer. Busy starting to get stuff together for the conference. Is this for me? Oh, I like that. Hearts and what? Smiles? Thank you. You're a blessing. Hallelujah. And continue to keep us in prayer, and you know, we want to continue to pray for, you know, just seeking his, you know, his guidance. And you know, I really want, you know, like I said, we're so spoiled here because this is like our own place. You know, and the thought of having to lug stuff and put it up and put it away. But you know what, God is in control, and he's gonna make a way. But we gotta be praying for, you know, his guidance, and hallelujah.
Yes, it's gonna be hard. We're just gonna have even greater freedom than we already have.
Well, we know it's not God's will for us to be living, you know, meeting a place too that the ceiling's coming down either, you know. Oh, I know. The men's room is horrible.
Real bad. I mean,
the ceiling is like, right, yeah. In the women's room?